Hey, we're back on downtown. Yeah, time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us this afternoon. Hello, Eric.
Hello, Rich. How's it feel in that big empty studio? You all right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a little lonely. Tumbleweeds blowing through, but I got room to stretch out, so that's nice.
You must have had my dog visiting you.
Oh, really?
This is my life, is tumbleweeds of fur.
Oh, dear.
It's quite unbelievable. I didn't know such a little dog could produce so very much fur.
Well, Greta's just trying to cool off for the summertime, right?
As are we all. I mowed the lawn earlier this week. I think it was 75 to 80 degrees and sunlight or whatever, but, afterwards I was like, wow, it's a lot of sun. My wife is just, she gave me such nonsense about it. It wasn't that hot. I'm like, I don't do hot. I moved north for a reason. I mean, many reasons. But that was not the least of them. I don't do heat. That's why when you tell me where you're talking about our dear friend Carrie, God bless him. Have fun.
Yeah,
I wither thinking about it.
I'm with you. No, thank you.
Yeah. So, pretty crazy things in the world, of course. The news coming out of Washington is a little insane. Who saw Terry McLaurin getting 3 more years on his contract?
Yeah, that was a shocker.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we gotta have some levity on a day like this. But we're gonna talk wine. We're gonna talk. So somehow June, which seemed like it stretched forever in a weirdly nice, wrapping up, and this is our last June. And I was looking at my notes from last year, and for some reason I have failed to cover much ground that I needed to cover, literally and figuratively. So really quick, I just kind of wanted to talk. Last week we talked a little bit about Germany and about how they are sort of France to the nth degree in terms of the specificity of their vineyard sites, their Einzellagen, as they call them. Perhaps I thought we might sort of, I didn't get into really all the terms that you're going to see, but I think we got into most of them. Most important is that once you start getting into what we consider, and they consider, because it used to be called Qualitätswein, now it's called Prädikatswein, but this is the level, the VDP, and you'll see it on the bands there on the label, the VDP, and anything above that, and when you start to see higher levels, the Spätlese, etc. Although I should get into that, that you're starting to deal with something that they would actually consider exporting, basically. There's some schlock out there, but mostly we get basically the reasonably good stuff, at least in the better wine stores like mine. It's important to remember that German wine can be vinified both dry and sweet, and that they're definitely leaning more in terms of the sort of entry-level wines of quality, more towards dry these days than they used to be. So be aware that the best kind of, instant way of telling if something is sweet or moderately sweet is to check the alcohol level. And if the alcohol level, the ABV is, say, around 9%, 10%, it's going to probably have some residual sugar in it. That's how you can usually easily tell if it's going to be something that's sweeter or drier. Because I know it's funny. No one asks when we talk about wine from any other country, is this sweet? Or, I like sweet wines. Good, you're talking to me about Argentine wines. I love sweet wines. But the instant you bring up German wines, despite the fact that they make dry wines, they make, dry rosés, they make wonderful, dry reds as well, everybody instantly thinks of, like, sweet schlock, and I get that. So it's time to relive or rethink it. The other terms, really quick, cabinet. It means a reserve quality wine. That's usually what you're going to see, is sort of what I was saying, the entry level. If you see Spätlese, That means late harvest. Literally, it means late harvest. Typically, they are semi-sweet. They can be vinified dry, but it's pretty hard when you have that much sugar that you have to vinify out. And so typically, Spätlese will have a little bit of semi-sweetness. But the designation is for a certain time of the harvest and sugar level. And then you have Auslese, which is select harvest. These are very ripe, hand-selected bunches. Again, typically semi-sweet or sweet. Sometimes you'll have some noble rot characteristics. That's botrytis, also known as noble rot, which gives the wines a very heady quality. And then, of course, you have like Eisswein, which does have that. And true Eisswein, I always tell people when they inquire about the price of actual Eisswein, this is the definition of them, at least according to my notes, made from grapes that have been naturally frozen on the vine, right? So they have fake ice wines out there that you can freeze in clusters, and they're cheap. And when they're naturally frozen, it makes a very concentrated wine. It must reach the same level of sugar content as in a Buren Auslese, which is a very late harvest. It's extraordinarily hard to. the amount of grapes needed to fill, you usually find them, by the way, in like half bottles, not in full bottles. The amount of grapes needed to fill like even one half bottle is absurd, and you have to basically go out like when alarms go off, when temperatures reach a certain. It's very, very difficult to get. So if you're drinking some real stuff, treasure it because it's pretty cool. Let's skip over to Austria really quick because we're blessed to actually have a pretty good selection of Austrian wines in this country and in the state. You start to see similar varieties as you see in Germany, but you also start to see some other varieties that are sometimes hybrid varieties. Portugieser, Dornfelder, Müller-Thurgau, you start to see wines that we're going to, I think, start to see here in Maine. This is an area where you need quicker ripening things because your season is not as long. Same deal out here up in Maine. So that is why when you go to see grapes being grown here in Maine, they are, again, these hybrid varietals that are created. Austria has a rich enough tradition with them that people don't deride them the way I think they deride some of the hybrid wines that we have up here in the Northeast. We'll get there. We just need to sort of establish tradition. But Austria is it's one of the more interesting places. Vienna, for instance, is one of the few cities in the world where there's actually like vines into the city limits. And they go all around, all along the Danube. Most of the vineyards follow the Danube for, I would say, sort of obvious reasons. Mostly white wine, about 65% white wines coming out of Austria. And of course, we do have the wonderful Grüner Veltliner and Zweigelt as sort of the main, main exported wines that everybody kind of knows. And, they also, by the way, kind of for fun, they're often sold in liter bottles, so party time. Just really quick, I'll probably start to touch on this maybe next month when we talk about Italy a little bit, just to sort of get in people's minds, we're going to start to talk about Greece, Georgia, the Balkans, the areas where winemaking really started to flesh itself out and become a thing. We'll talk more about that in coming weeks. But it becomes sort of relevant as we're dealing in world politics right now, that some of the places that are in the news were once totally vibrant scenes that don't really resemble it now. So just things to think about. I'm relatively out of time.
About a minute left.
Okay. Well, let's see here. Oh,
Greta!
I think my children. Yeah, I was going to say, I think my children have returned from the pool, and Greta's excited to see them. And they're probably going to come in, they're going to be quiet. Good. So what else do I want to talk about? We'll start in. Okay. So the earliest winemaking, just to again, sort of start to flesh this out, to give people timelines, and then we'll talk more about it next Tuesday. Earliest known traces are from, like, Georgia, right? And that's from 6,000 B.C., Iran, circa 5,000 B.C., and Sicily around 4,000. And in some of the areas that are, you know, currently under strife, were caves that, you know, they used caves. And basically, you see this, again, throughout Europe because they're very practical. Anytime you can find existing dugout places, winemakers will make use of them. you see a lot of evidence of that. I guess I'll let it go with that, and then we'll shift into full gear next week.
Excellent. A little teaser for next week. Eric, thank you as always. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your 4th, and we'll visit next Tuesday on the 5th.
All right, everybody. Hey, everybody go out and see the symphony for free on the 4th, by the way.
Absolutely. Cool. Thanks, Eric.
Bye.
Eric Mahon, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday here on Downtown.